Tonight I want us to explore a profound topic and some challenging words of Jesus that are found in the Gospel of John. And the topic I want us to look at is, which Father do you know best? 4 points: recognizing the Father of lies, embracing God as our Father, living as children of light, and growing in spiritual maturity. First point, recognizing the Father of lies. In John 8:44, Jesus is confronting the Pharisees and he's highlighting their hypocrisy and their spiritual blindness. These are the words of Jesus: "For you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Jesus here is identifying that the Pharisees of the time, their allegiance wasn't to Father God. Their allegiance was to Satan, the father of all lies. It's a harsh allegation, but it's true. He was talking to a group of people who seemed to care more about religious observance than actually having faith or compassion. People who were so determined to live by the letter of the law, they forgot who their heavenly Father was. There was no love, really, for God. Everything was about the rules. And as if the commandments weren't enough, the rabbis added multiple commandments that were even more impossible for people to keep than just the commandments that God had given. The Greek word that's used here in the text for devil is diabolos. It means the accuser or slanderer. And this term really reflects the devil's nature as the deceiver, as the opponent of truth. He doesn't want us to know what God really says. He doesn't want us to know that, in many ways, that he is real. One of his biggest deceptions is to lie to people about his existence. And if you think back to the Garden of Eden, when he appeared in the form of a serpent, he asked questions, things like, did God really say, to sow seeds of doubt in Adam and Eve's mind? And the devil attempts to sow seeds of doubt into our mind today. And sadly, there are far more people in the world today who listen to the father of lies than they do to the God of truth. Friends, we need to be vigilant and ensure that we are listening to God's truth, to the voice of our Heavenly Father. Over the years, I've met a few people who have said to me things like, well, God has told me, or God has said. And yet the evidence and the situations have proved that actually that person wasn't hearing the voice of God, because what they thought would come to pass never ever did. There's a song by a lady called Sarah Young, and she says, I think it's very odd that while I seek a new word from God, my Bible sits upon the shelf with every word I could ever need, because the word was, the word is, and the word will be. And yeah, prophecy is one of the gifts. There are genuine prophets in this world. There are people who speak with a prophetic edge, but no prophet should ever contradict the word of God, because God's word is and always will be. And here we've got a group of Pharisees that were attempting to add to God's word, to attempt to try and make it far more complex for people to actually follow. And what it did was it caused a division between the religious elite and the normal people. People who wanted to be in a relationship with God were stopped because they couldn't meet the requirements of the Pharisees. The devil from the beginning, as I said, even back in the Garden of Eden, deceit, lies, that's how he operates. Whatever he can do, whatever he can whisper to lead people away from the truth, he will do. It's almost like he doesn't recognize he's already defeated. It's almost like he doesn't recognize that his fate is already sealed. He just wants to cause distraction to people on his way to destruction, doesn't he? I wonder, there are false teachers in the world. How many of us actually recognize the difference between lies and truth? How many of us have actually listened to half-truths and replaced what the Word of God says with something that perhaps seems a little bit more palatable, a little bit easier to follow. See, God's word is meant to transform us. We're not meant to transform the word. We are not meant to twist it or change it to fit our agenda. God has spoken and his words are true. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says this: "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And if he always performed in that way, he would be easy to spot, wouldn't he? We would actually know when it is the devil that's attempting to say something or whisper something to us rather than the voice of God. But the devil is a deceiver, and he will even pretend to speak the words of God to distract us. Peter warns that the devil is active. The devil seeks to pursue and to destroy. And yet the imagery of a roaring lion, we think, yeah, we'd spot that. But we need to stay alert to ensure that schemes and distractions don't pull us away from following the truth. It's the truth of God's word that transforms us. It's the truth of God's word that changes us. It's the truth of God's word that saves. And friends, we need to be grounded in the word of God to know what the word says. We need to regularly engage with the Bible. We need to regularly read the word of God. We need to spend time in prayer and strengthen our spiritual defenses. And yes, God can speak directly to us, and we should be listening for his voice. But we need to listen with discernment. We need to listen with care to ensure that we're not being distracted. Second point, embracing God as our Father. Romans 8:15. "So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father." Abba, Father. The term in the Aramaic, it's a personal thing. It means daddy or papa. Our Heavenly Father isn't someone that is unapproachable. Yes, he's majestic. Yes, he's omnipresent. Yes, he is omnipotent. But we can boldly approach him. We can be in relationship with him. We can call him daddy, friend. There's so many different names of God that are relevant to us. So many names that describe him, but also describe our relationship to him. He's our Saviour. He's our Redeemer. He's the one who sets captives free. He's Jehovah Jireh, our great provider. So many different names. And I'm not even convinced that all of the names that humanity has assigned to God are enough to fully describe who he is. Humans, with our finite minds, we try to describe the infinite, and we come short. God is so much bigger, so much greater, so much more wonderful than we can fully grasp. And he desires to be in relationship with us. He wants us to call him Father. He wants us to call him Friend. There is such a privilege for us here. And friends, we can boldly approach him knowing that we are loved and knowing that we are valued. How much are we valued? God the Father was willing to send his Son to give his life to set us free. That's how valued we are. We're worth the life of Jesus. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6 says this: "And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba, Father." Paul is reiterating the intimate relationship here between believers and God. This is incredible. God is not distant. God is not set apart from us. We are in Christ. Therefore, we are in God. We're in relationship. And friends, the relationship that we have with God is something that we should take care of and participate in on a daily basis. We're meant to pray. We're meant to worship. We are meant to spend time with our God. And maybe in the 21st century, other things get in the way. Maybe we push God to one side until we've got time for him. But I'm so thankful that God never pushed us aside and that he had time to give himself for us. From eternity, he'd planned how we could be saved. From eternity, he planned how we could be set free. And friends, if only one of us had ever sinned, Christ would have died for the one. We need to cultivate a relationship with our God. We need to cultivate a relationship with our Father. We need to spend time praising and praying and worshipping the God who loves us and cares for us. We need to affirm our identity as children of God. We need to affirm our identity that we are in Him. We need to be certain. We need to be sure. We need to understand the promise that we are His. That just as we embrace Him as Father, He embraces us as His children. Third point, living as children of light. Ephesians 5:8. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. The Apostle Paul is encouraging believers here to live in the light of Christ. To no longer live in the darkness of sin, but to step out into the light. To actually be beacons of light, shining for Christ. Shining forth the gospel, the truth. Sharing the truth with others. That's part of living as children of light. The Greek word in this passage for light is phos. It symbolizes purity, it symbolizes truth, it symbolizes divine revelation. And our Heavenly Father, we should reflect His character. We should be shining for Him. We should be showing His glory to the world around us. We're meant to live in a way that honors Him. We're meant to live demonstrating truth and love, demonstrating that transformation has happened in our lives. We were in darkness before we knew Him, but now we are children of the light. We're saved, we're set free, and it's all because of everything that He has done. Matthew 5:16 says this, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." Let me be clear, our deeds do not save us. We're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. But as people who are saved, as people who know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we should be willing to serve Him in whatever way that occurs. However He calls us, we are meant to say, "Yes, Lord, here I am." But again, the modern world might get in the way. The things of the world would say, "Well, no, you need to put yourself first. You need your me time." Friends, the best me time that we can have is God time. Spending time in His presence, spending time in His word, listening to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, even, dare I say it, Christian heavy metal music, and that does exist. We need to spend time in His presence. That's the best me time that we could ever have. What do you do to shine for Jesus? What do you do to shine out to others that Jesus is part of your life, that God is part of your life, that God is at the centre of your life? Jesus, He teaches about the importance of our lives reflecting God's greatness, of our lives bringing glory to God. How do you do that in your own life? What are your actions? What are your decisions? What is it that shows that you are living as a child of light? Are you intentional about how you live out your faith? Do your actions, your words, are they a testimony to the fact that you believe that Jesus is Lord and Saviour? Is there evidence of God's transforming power in your life? If you think about it, we are almost halfway through the year, and 6 months we've been thinking about being transformed by truth. Has that transformation kicked in to a different gear from what it was before? Do you actually feel like you are walking closer to God so that you are being transformed more, sanctified, changed, made ready for heaven? Or are you just 6 months in, hoping that 6 months from now it's going to be an easier theme that we actually preach on? Friends, the truth of God's word can be difficult at times. For us to live as children of light, we need to embrace the word of God. It's got to be the centre of what we do. Not on the edges, not in a drawer somewhere else. The word of God needs to be active and visible to us, because then that helps us to be active and visible to the world. Fourth point, growing in spiritual maturity. You know, spiritual maturity, it involves developing that deeper understanding, scratching beneath the surface. growing in our relationship with God as we understand more about him and his word. Growth is essential for us to live out our identity as children of God. Growth is important for us to be being changed into his likeness, being changed from glory into glory, as the old English would put it. Here in Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 14, it says this: "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who, through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." The author of Hebrews encourages believers to move beyond the basics of faith and strive for spiritual maturity, to grow deeper in that relationship with God the Father, to grow deeper in the understanding of Jesus the Son, to move more in the gifts of the Spirit, to demonstrate more of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. But in order for us to do that, we need to be committed. We need to be committed to actually grow. And that actually involves us doing the work, allowing God to work in us and through us. Friends, it is my hope that you have more exposure to the Word of God during the week than just what you hear in church on a Sunday. It's my hope that you will spend time actually reading the Word of God for yourself. Maybe reading commentaries, something like Word for the Day, actually taking that opportunity to feed yourself from the Word of God. What's the result if we do feed from the Word of God? What's the result if we actually allow God's Word and God's Spirit to dwell and grow within us? Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. "Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." Paul here is urging us, urging believers to grow, to become more like Christ. Spiritual maturity equips us to be able to discern the truth from falsehood, to live in a way that honours God, to actually understand what are the things of the world, what are the things of the devil, and what are the things of God. For us to actually know how we should live. Without the Bible, we can't grow in spiritual maturity. Without a quickening of the Spirit in our lives, we can't develop the fruit of the Spirit. Without engaging in regular prayer, without participating as part of a community of believers, we cannot grow if we don't allow the Lord to work in us. Maybe there are people that are comfortable with a shallow Christianity. Maybe there are people who are comfortable of not knowing the Word of God, because if they did know the Word of God, they might have to change the way that they live. But we're not called to be ignorant. We are called to work out our salvation for ourselves, to spend time growing in maturity. In conclusion, let's consider the story of a child in the busy market. Amongst all of the confusion, the child hears a familiar voice calling their name. And when they recognize the voice of the Father, the child is able to go to safety, to receive comfort. In the chaos in the modern world, let's listen for the voice of our Father. Let's listen for the true voice of Father God. And let's find peace and guidance when we enter into his presence. Let's trust our Father. Let's trust him and let's worship him. As we reflect on the power of the Father, as we reflect on our spiritual paternity, let's commit ourselves to continue to being transformed by the power of his word. Let's commit to knowing him more intimately in our lives. Let's reject the lies of the evil one and don't let the enemy have a foothold in our lives. But let's listen to the voice of God. Let's read the word of God And let's be devoted to our Father, just as he is devoted to us. Let me encourage you with a call to action. This week, dedicate time, quality time, to spending with God. Spend time in his word, spend time praying, spend time seeking his will. And then you will develop a deeper understanding of him and his love for you. You'll draw closer to him, and also share the truth of Father God with others. Not everyone in this world has had the benefit of a biological father who's always been around. Not everyone's had the benefit of having a loving father. And there are many people in this world who are hurt and broken because of what their father or another parent did to them. But we can share the love of the perfect Father with those that we meet. Those who are downhearted, those who are discouraged, those who are broken. And God can bring healing and wholeness into their lives when they come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. So share the love that Father has, the unconditional love for all who will repent and turn and accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And as we go from this place today, let's carry the assurance of Father's love, Father's power, and let's live in confidence knowing that we are his beloved children. Now and forever. Amen.